right. Well, welcome to Victory Faith today. I do want to share with you about the worship night tonight. We have a worship night tonight that is going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. We've been looking forward to this for a while. And we've been in this 21 days of prayer and fasting season that we do every year. And with the snow and how crazy it's been and the parking lot and all that, we had so many events planned, so many of them. Guess how many we did? Zero. But you know what? I am more than excited about what God is doing because I have felt a peace that I don't usually feel going into this season and going out of it even through this. Pastor Liz texted me the other day, you know, she's feeling sick and everything, and we're like, oh, my wife's flying out to Oregon. Who's going to lead worship? How are we going to do this? And I just felt the peace of God in my life. And I want you to experience that, and I want you to have that. And I believe that even outside of peace, God's going to do something special tonight in our prayer and worship service. And I would like to invite you and encourage you to be there tonight. To, if you have something going on, I know there's a couple, like maybe some football games going on. I don't know, something like they may be important. I get that. Like, they're a big deal. I like football. But love for you to come and join us tonight. You'll probably get home by halftime if you do come. So I'm short, guys. It's going to be an hour, 6 to 7 p.m. You're good. But yeah, I would love to invite you tonight to that. I do believe God is going to do something miraculous, and I'm feeling it already. I'm going into this message today that is the end of our Pray First series, and we're starting a new series next week called The Blessed Life. So if you're like, man, I need a blessed life, well, I'll get you. I'll hook you up. Next week, join us, and we will go through a series called The Blessed Life. So be with us. But this last message of our Pray First series is so important. It's sticking with prayer. It's not just a season that we do of 21 days of prayer and fasting, but it's actually something that we are just, it's part of our life. And I was thinking of how to open this up today, and I was reminded of my beautiful three-year-old little girl, Moxie, and she just has always got a song in her head, and she's walking around, singing around the house. And parents, those of you who've raised kids, they're like out of the house and everything. After the service, I want to ask you, how did you do it without noise-canceling headphones? Like I've got my pods in my ears, I could still hear them, but I've got to block out like the high tones, like, I don't know how you did it, and I don't want to hear how you did it because it might not be the greatest, but the noise canceling really helps sometimes. But this little girl, she's loud. She's super loud, but she's always talking. She's always talking to us. Even when she's watching something, she's talking to us. She's talking all the time, just talking, and she's an extrovert. Like, she loves to talk, and I love it. Like, she's great. She's a blast, but I was thinking about her. And sometimes it's hard to have that inside of us to where we're okay with talking a lot. And actually, that is part of what our prayer life should be. God doesn't put his noise-canceling headphones in for us, though. Like, he wants to hear us, and he has this capacity. And I think that prayer sometimes goes back to, we need to understand how big he is. And I wish I had Colossians pulled up here, but I'll find that in a second. But there's a passage in Colossians that you need to make sure you've read before. It's 1:15 through 23, because if we don't remember how big our God is, then our prayer life is going to not be great, because we're not going to, like, if I'm just talking to another person, then what's he going to do? But if I'm talking to this God of the universe, the one who can do anything and everything, then it's awesome, and he can take care of what I'm asking him for. And I don't normally do this. Like, I'm going off the cuff here to find this verse because it's so big. I was looking through it this week. Actually, my senior year in college, I went to Bible college. I did a 15-page paper just on these, like, the short passage here, Colossians 1:15 through 23. It's the most powerful passage in all of Scripture. So who is Jesus? Who is this person that we're praying to? It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything else, and he holds all creation together. Think about that. We just think of like our emotions, but when he was on the cross, he is literally holding the pieces of atoms together that are holding the cross together. He holds everything together, and that's the person we pray to. Christ is also the head of the church. I'm not the head of this church. You don't look to me. You look through me to the one who is the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, the supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to him. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy. Did you know that? You were his enemy. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. And I'm going to skip down to 23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't drift away. This isn't the time to do it. You need to get closer to him. Dig in closer to him. This is the time. We need to have an overflowing amount of God in our life to be able to do and have the hope and healing that we need in our life. That is the God that we're praying to. We go to Jesus, and that's who he is. He's holding all things together. He's with you. He's comforting you. He is with you right now, whatever it is. So how do we pray? How do we stick with prayer? We know who God is now. How do we stick with it? Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So what are we doing? We're praying all the time. Talk to God all the time. All the time. This is not like we do have times of corporate prayer. Okay, we do 9 a.m. prayer every Sunday. We do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Those are corporate times of prayer. But our communication with God never stops. Our communication with God is all day, every day. It's just a continual conversation with him. Oh, I saw that person break, you know, they broke their leg and whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying. Just pray for people. Pray for situations going on at all times. Just like you might with your best friend. Talk to God anytime, all the time, no matter what you're doing. He's like having a never-ending conversation. When you pray, listen to God's Spirit. He's going to be speaking to you. He's going to be speaking to you while you're praying with him. We have to keep our ears open as our eyes are going forward and our mouth is talking. His Spirit will guide you. If you're continually talking to him, prayer is not a checklist thing. It's not like, okay, I did my 5 minutes of prayer, which we talk about a lot. 5 minutes of the Bible, 5 minutes in prayer, and 5 minutes of worship. Try to do that every day. But it is not, okay, 1, 2, 3, got it. No, it is a conversation. It is a tool to unify us with God. It is not a piece of something that we check off of our list. A list is helpful to do the things that we need to do to be able to get connected with God. So as we're praying, let his Spirit guide you. So you get that unity with him, you get unified with him, and then we allow him to lead us in our day. So if I'm walking through Walmart, which please be praying if you're walking through Walmart, because wow, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of things to buy. That's what I'm talking about, not other things. Talk with God. And the reason a lot of us don't pray like that is because we don't want to go up to random people and talk to them. That's the main thing. Like, you're like, nope, not going to do it. But he's going to talk to you. And it may just be like, pray for that person right now. You know, you just saw them. You're going to have this unification that you've never had before, and continually pray. Be alert, so stay awake. I'm not just talking about your eyes, but your heart. Keep alert at all times. If you played a sport, you have to be alert while you're playing basketball or football. You can't just look at the stars or be like a three-year-old out there playing in the dirt on the baseball diamond. You have to be alert and ready to go at all times. Pay attention to what's going on around you and allow God's Spirit to keep you going with that. Don't give up. Do not give up. Some of you have prayers in your life right now that feel like, oh, I am not getting the answer that I want from this prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to pray. Keep praying even when it gets tough. If you're praying for a friend to come to church or find Jesus, keep praying for them. You are not the one in control. God is in control. Go to the one who has the control over the situation. Keep fighting, and then pray for everyone. One thing that's easy is, man, I got all these problems. We got enough problems ourselves. It's hard to get on to other people and pray for them. We have to be praying for other people in our prayers. We need to go to God about other people in our prayers. And sometimes it's easy to have a nice little list in front of us of the people that you prioritize to pray for. So we need to make sure that we know who we're praying for. I've got a few points here. Number one today is make prayer your daily go-to. Make prayer your daily go-to. It's just like grabbing your coffee on the way out, which, let's be honest, it costs how much? 20 cents to make a cup of coffee at home, and we drive to, you know, in Fort Madison, we only have a couple drive-thrus, but it's like $5, $6. So Starbucks is, I used to hear the joke by pastors say, Starbucks is $5. It's $6, $7, $8. You can get a drink for like $9 now. It's just like that coffee. Like, it's your daily go-to. Yeah, coffee's good. It gets you that energy you need. But it's a daily thing. It's a continual thing. Don't leave God in the dust today. Talk to him tomorrow when you wake up. Just start talking with him. Start your day that way. Psalm 5:3 says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning, I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. And that should be our heart, bringing our request to him, waiting expectantly. It's all about kicking your day off with God. It's those things that you start your day off with is what will lead you through the rest of your day. If we start our day off with God, then we will continue our day and finish our day with God. We are more likely to do that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's about as simple as it possibly can get. Never stop praying. And some of you, maybe you have a traditional background, you have a Catholic background, whatever that may be, you're thinking, well, that doesn't make sense the way that I pray. Now, what I want to give you right now is that we can actually have a regular conversation with God. We have a regular conversation with God the way that I talk to you or you talk to me. We can have that conversation with God. There are times and places for written out prayers for help and guidance in times of prayer. Those are great. But what I want you to know is when I'm talking about praying all day, I'm not talking about like having a sheet of paper like in front of you where you're like listing this stuff off and you're trying to do your job working on the line and you're about to get fired because you've got this thing going on. No, just talk with him. And it doesn't have to always be audible. Just conversations with him. And it might be good to tell you, you don't need to be audible because you might get fired for that too. We won't go into that though, but we can talk about it later if you want to. I don't think you got it. Talking out loud to yourself. Let's keep going. Let the conversation just continue to go all day. Now, it is good to start your day with a quiet time of prayer. I always call it the quiet time. Number two is find your prayer spot. You want to find your prayer spot. You need a place. There's a movie that came out a few years ago called The War Room, and they have like a literal closet that is just decked out. That's great. That's like plan A, but it can be anything. It can be a little corner in your room. It can be your garage, but have a spot that is your spot. Communicate if you've got young kids, hey, I know. Say, hey, I need about 10 minutes here. I need to go to my spot and spend some time with God. And just have that conversation if you're married or if you have, you know, if you need to, just have that conversation and get your time away. Sometimes you can use the older kids to help with the younger kids too, praise God. But find a spot. It's not some religious spot, but it's a place where you have a groove in your life, a place where you have a rhythm with God. Mark 1:35 says, and this talks about how Jesus had a spot. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Find an isolated place to pray. Find a spot where you can be alone and undisturbed. Find that sweet spot in your life. Maybe a corner, a spot in your garage, or some of you, maybe you have a commute to work. Find that sweet spot in your life. Now, if you live in Fort Madison, work at Fort Madison, you probably have a 2-minute commute. So you may need to take the long way to work next time. Number three is get a game plan for prayer. This is the place where I think most Christians struggle, and this is where my prayer life struggled for years. Probably until about 8 or 9 years ago, I did not have a game plan for prayer. I did not have a tool to help me to pray. What is a tool to pray? Some of you have a gift that's called intercessory prayer. And you are people who are amazing, and I need more of you in my life. You are people who could literally just walk around and pray for hours. You don't need anything. Like, you got your game plan. It's just you and God. A lot of us need, like, a tool to help us, right? So we have prayer guides in the back on the table back there, and we have, like, 5 or 6 different guides to help you pray. And they are not holy in and of themselves, but they are tools to help you to pray along with God. And they list things out for you and ways to pray. And it opens up your prayer life where, you know, sometimes we sit down and, oh, I'd love to pray for an hour right now. And you look up, you're watching, it's been 5 minutes. And you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? But then I've gotten these prayer tools in my life, and I've gotten some guidance through those tools, and now I'm praying, and I'm just like, oh man, I gotta go to work now. Like, I'm telling you, get a tool, get a guide in your life, get a prayer guide in your life, get a game plan for prayer. If you don't have a game plan, just grab one of the worship guides one of the prayer guides on your way out, and you can have that. That'll be a great tool for you. Luke 11, 1-2 says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, so he got his time away in his sweet spot. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, pause here for a second. I want to set this up. So, these are the people with the names written in the most important book in the history of the universe, the Bible. His disciples are some of the people that we look to for guidance on most of the things that we have going on in our life. The Gospels and the New Testament letters are written with these people's names in them. And these people come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, will you teach me to pray? And so for me, that does something for me. That says, you aren't too big to ask for help. If you need help, ask for help. I'm telling you, most of being a Christian is learning how to humble ourselves. It's when we get prideful is when we start to really struggle. But right here it says, the disciples went to Jesus, teach us to pray. Like, you're doing all this prayer and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't have a game plan, help me. And so Jesus says this, he's like, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. And so he goes into that prayer, and it shows that these disciples, they weren't too big to ask for help. I mean, Peter, Paul, like Peter and John, and it's all these guys that we look to and we're like, oh, they're great. I wish I could be like them. They're right where we're at. They asked for help. They asked Jesus for help. There are apps that can help you with prayer. I don't like listing off a bunch of things because I get overwhelmed with the list stuff. Like, but there are so many tools that you can use. Start with the guide. You'll find something you like. Number four, and this is the sweet spot right here, passionate prayers make the greatest difference. Passionate prayers, I equate it a lot with worship. Your passionate worship, which I don't look around a whole lot during worship, but I could sense that there was passionate worship happening this morning. And it just does something for my heart. And I don't cry a whole lot during worship, but I'm just like, I can't stop it because I know that you guys are worshiping Jesus. And it makes the biggest difference. And it's the same thing with our prayer life. Our passionate prayers make the greatest difference. The prayers where, and I'm not saying you have to yell and scream. Like, if that's your thing, do it. Like, that's fine. But if it's not, you just quietly talk. But it's something in your heart. It's a passion. It's a desire. It's when you know that you're talking to the right person about the thing that's going on in your life, and you truly need this help, and you believe that God will do it, and you plead to him, and you say, God, please help me with this. I don't know what to do, and I'm having some of these prayers in my life right now. Like, I need help, and I'm passionate about them. James 5:16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Earnest in this context means serious, heartfelt, and sincere. So what it's saying is, yeah, use the prayer guide, but don't just sit there and read it and expect something to happen. Like, you've got to mean it. You have to be sincere about it. You have to truly know that you are talking to this God that Colossians 1:15 through 23 talks about. Like, you're talking to that person, that God. And that should allow us to be sincere about our faith and about our prayers. So what I would say is pour out your heart, not just your words. Pour out everything inside your heart, not just your words. Don't let it be a repetitious thing. It has to be a passionate, sincere thing in your life. And it's not just about repeating words or thinking without thinking, but it's about passionately giving him everything inside of us when we are praying to him. Be sincere and give him your heart. If you really want something to happen, I know people that are here today and they don't think that the Lions will win tonight. And man, you're going to have to go into overtime praying for those Lions because they're playing a really good team tonight. And this is what I'm talking about right here. You really want something to happen. You have something in your gut that just, you need to get out. And that's how you talk to God. Like, we can get intense about all these other things in our life. But I'm telling you, like, when you're watching a football game, and I get intense sometimes, like, channel that energy and realize that we need to be passionate and sincere about our relationship with God the same way, or more so. It's relatable, though. It makes sense. We need to be passionate. Prayers filled with passion make a huge difference in our connection with God. Don't be afraid to pour your heart out. Don't be afraid. You're thinking, man, what will my neighbors think? They're probably sleeping. They won't hear you. Just go into your prayer room and pray. Go where you need to go and pray. Passionately. Join us here at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings and passionately pray. We turn the music up just loud enough to where we can pray. Like, we can pray passionately. You need to ask yourself, what is stopping me from having a passionate prayer life to God? What is it? Is it something in me? Is there some belief that I have that's blocking me from this? Search it out. Ask God. You can do it in the way you pray right now. Just ask him, God, will you show me what's keeping me from doing this? I'm kind of shy sometimes. That's my thing. Like, I don't like people looking at me. This whole thing right here, not my favorite. We need to find that thing and allow him to move in it and help us with that. And number 5 is connect on a deeper level. Pray with a focus on Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Pray to him with focus. Have the focus in your life. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, think about Jesus' sacrifice, saying yes to God's plan. God had this plan for Jesus to come, live, and die. And Jesus had to say yes to that. Can you imagine the focus that it took as a human being to do exactly what he said to do? You're going to go on the cross and you're going to die. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be the worst thing that anyone can experience. He had to stay focused on what he was supposed to do. And so I want you to stay focused. And I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you, and I continually pray for you. These are some things that I pray for you, that you would really, really, and I mean really, your eyes are cleared off and to know God. That you would know him. just like you would with a friend or a spouse, that you would know him better than anything you, any person that you could. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who calls out to me, this is so important. He doesn't, as much as I would love it to be, your attendance at church is not going to get you into heaven. It's you being a good person is not going to, that does not mean you know God. Knowing God means, I mean, knowing him. I don't know how else to say it. Unified to him, connected with him. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It says, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, oh man, I did all these things. I prophesied in your name. I cast these demons out. I preached in front of a church. Oh man, I did this. I helped on the dream team. I performed miracles. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. What? That's intense. That's intense. Knowing God is the focus. That is the most important thing that we do as a church, is to try to help you to know God, to have that relationship with him, have that connection with him, to find freedom. This is when the scales are wiped away so that you can see clearly. James 5:16, this is how it happens, guys. Confess your sins to each other. You're like, whoa, I can confess to God, that's fine. It says to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So that you can be healed, so that your heart can be healed, so that you can have greater connection with God. We find freedom so that we can know God better. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results, but confess your sins to each other so that you can be healed. And how do we do this? Next week is rally day. Small group rally day. Living in relationship with people. Don't hear me the wrong way here. I'm not saying you get into a small group and you all huddle up and you just start blasting out everything that's going on in your life. You find a couple people, one, two people that you can trust and give your most important information to in your life, and you give that to them. It's difficult. It's hard to trust people. It's so hard. It's so hard. But I'm telling you, if you can find that, it says right here, confess your sins to other people so that you can be healed. You're desperately looking for healing in your life. You're desperately looking for it. You don't know how to find it. You don't know where to look. You've been trying all you know to do, and that's speaking directly with God, and that's the best thing you can do. But if you dig a little bit, you see right here, it says confess to another person. It's just the way it is. That's what God says in his word. You need to talk to other people. Jump into a small group. If you haven't done a small group, we have what's called freedom groups happening next semester, or starting next week. That's the best opportunity. Maybe you've already been through one and you're like, I need something more. Just jump in again. Join me. We're gonna have guys and girls groups. They're gonna be Monday nights. I want you to be there. Find freedom. Be able to breathe clearly. Be able to see clearly what God is doing in your life. This is the thing I love. I have three kids. If I had four kids and I had to choose one here, it would be discover purpose. Discover your purpose. You know, you find freedom. Discovering your God-given purpose in this life is so important. We can walk through this life like zombies. And then once we find out how God has wired us, what gifts he has given me, I'm telling you, I grew up so insecure as a kid. I didn't know anything about this. I grew up and I'm like, once I found out about this, I was like, wait, so I didn't have to act like that guy to be good at something? Or, you know, look at the star football player, I had to act like him. No, I could just be me. I could be me in a relationship with God, and I could be the best version of myself that God has given me. You can be you and grow in that, and God will do something amazing in you. When you can find a place, your sweet spot in life, it's game over. The depression melts away. It's not going to be, I'm not saying it's a perfect answer. Don't hear me. But a lot of the small stuff is going to be a cakewalk. Once you find your purpose in life, it's just going to be different. I pray that you will discover yours. Romans 12:6 says it right here. It says, God has given us different gifts. I don't have to be like someone else. He's done this for doing things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then do it. Prophesy. Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If God has given you a gift to lead worship, then do it. If He's given you a gift to greet people and love people, then do it. We can't allow the insecure thoughts to hold us back. If He's given you the ability to do something, then do it for God. Whatever you're doing outside of the church and you're good at, bring it into the church. Allow God to use it for His kingdom. Open your mind. That whatever you do right now may not exist right now, but guess what? We do things at the pace that God gives us, the people and the resources. If someone came to me today and was like, hey, I don't know, I have a gift to work on vehicles. We don't have a vehicle. We don't have that ministry, but we would tomorrow if that's what you want to do. We do it based on how the people God is giving us. And then to make a difference, once you've discovered your purpose and make a difference in this world, it's like fire. It's a white hot fire. John 15:8, when you produce fruit, so the things that you do and the results that are happening because of that, when you produce fruit, you are my true disciples. So when we are doing these things and we're walking them out, and we're producing fruit, we're helping people, we're giving up our life so that other people can get closer to Him. When we produce the fruit, that is a disciple. Are you producing fruit? Love it. Are you producing the fruit? What is your fruit? Think about it. Think about it right now. John 15:11 says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And that's my message tonight. Overflowing. We are in this life where we're like, oh, I don't have anything to offer. I'm just overwhelmed with life. It's because we haven't allowed ourselves to be filled up with what God has for us. Some of you I see, and it's just all over your face that you are filled and overflowing. And some of us, I'm feeling a little bit of this right now myself. I've got to get filled back up. So that I'm overflowing, so that that fruit that I'm able to give out is in abundance. He wants to do that in every single person. He wants to do that in you. If I could just come around each one of you, I would say it to each one of you. He wants to do it. He wants to overflow. He wants to overflow in your life so that the people around you, they're just different because you're different. Overflowing. John 15:16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. God wants to do this. He wants to do this in your life today. He wants to change you. He wants to transform you. It's all up to us though. He's not gonna make you. He will never make you. He's a loving, kind God. He's never going to come up to you and just start smacking you around and say, go. It's up to you. Are you listening to Him? Are you allowing Him to move in your life right now? I would like if you guys would stand with me. This is the moment right here. These are the deciding moments that we have here at the church. In this time, I'd like you to make decisions. Make a decision on how the rest of your life is going to be. Make a decision on how today is going to look or tomorrow is going to look. Are you going to be filled up? Are you going to be overflowing today? Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Again, we surrender to you. We give you our life. I surrender these people to you. I know that you don't control people. I don't control people. I ask that you would just, my prayer this morning was that you would overwhelm them with your love, and that their only response would be that they want more of you. And God, I just ask that you would touch them today, that you would love them today, that they would experience you today. And it's possible that you've been going to church your whole life. You've been going to church a long time, and you've seen it as a checklist, and you're here today because you like church and, you know, it's good. But you've not actually surrendered your life to Jesus, or whatever your story is. Are you surrendered to him? Is he the one that's overflowing, or is it you taking control? In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus, to surrender to him, to give him your life, so that your life can be different, so that your life can be changed, so that you can help other people and produce fruit. So I'm going to be real simple here. I'm just going to count to three, and then you can just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Jesus, be with us all right now. You're the only one that can do anything in us. You're the only one that can change us. You're the only one who can do miracles through us, Lord. And we surrender it to you. So if you are here today and you're ready to give your life to Jesus, you're ready to go all in with him, and that's you today, I just ask on the count of three, you would just raise your hand up proudly, and I'll pray for you. So one, two, three, just raise your hand up high. Thank you. Yes, thank you. And church, would you pray with me today while we're praying this prayer, this confession to Jesus? Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender it all to you. I give you everything inside of me. I give you my time. I give you my resources. And I give you my life. I love you, Jesus. In your name. Amen.